We're holding on Chof Zayin Omud Bey's six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah said that if a person blows shofar into a pit or into a cistern which is built above ground, the point is that in either of those places it echoes, etc. So we said that if the Mishnah had actually mentioned a third one also into a big barrel, so if what you hear is the sound of the shofar, then you're yotze. If what you hear is the sound of an echo, then you're not yotze. So the Gemara said, by the way, from this that we see that you can't be yotze with the sound of an echo is one of the sources in halacha for the concept that you can't be yotze, shofar, or other such things by hearing it, for example, over the telephone or the radio or Zoom or what have you, because you're not hearing the original sound, you're only hearing like an echo of it. So the Gemara says, when we say that you're not yotze, is the ones who are standing outside the pit, because they're going to be, since you're inside the pit and blowing shofar, and then the people outside are going to be hearing an echo. But the ones who are standing inside the pit will be yotze because they're hearing the actual sound of the shofar inside the pit.
The sound in the pit is echoing from the wall.
But that doesn't matter. The point is that you're hearing the sound of the shofar itself. The fact that afterwards you hear a secondary echo, that doesn't matter. In fact, the posts can talk about, for example, let's say you're blowing shofar out in the woods or something. You may well have it reverberates off the trees, but that's different because you're hearing the sound of the shofar and afterwards you're hearing a secondary echo. Here we're talking about when you're hearing the sound that you're not hearing the original sound itself. You're hearing it as a secondary thing. You're not actually hearing the original sound because the sound is being produced inside the pit. What you're hearing is something else. So therefore, it's not the original sound. But if you're inside the pit, then you're hearing the actual sound. So the Gemara says, Tani Nami Chachivilon, similarly in a Braisa, Hatekeh Lasecha Bor Lasecha Dus Yotza. A Braisa says that if you blow into a pit or into a dus, then you're Yotza. But what do you mean you're Yotza? But Nan Lo Yotza. Our Mishnah said you're not Yotza. Obviously, the answer, how do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa, must be using Rav Huna's statement, Shmaminos to that proof. A different version, the Gemara says, Ika de Romi Lahumirma. There were others who learned it that it wasn't like this. We had the first version was Rav Huna said his statement on the Mishnah, and then we pointed out that it's also supported by the fact that you have a difference between the Mishnah and a Braisa. There was another version where they started out with the Mishnah versus the Braisa, and then we use Rav Huna's answer to reconcile them. So there were those who learned it to begin with as a question. Our Mishnah is saying in these cases you're not yotze, but we have a braisa that says you are yotze. That depends whether you have the people who are listening, who are standing by the edge of the pit versus those who are standing inside the pit. Those who are standing by the edge are not hearing the original sound because it's too muffled by being inside the pit, in other words. So what they're hearing is not really the actual sound, whereas those who are standing inside the pit are hearing the actual sound. Good. Okay. Omar Rabba. So Rabba says in this connection, Shama miktas tkiya babur or miktas tkiya al sfasabur. If a person hears part of the tkiya inside the pit and part of the tkiya outside the pit, so presumably that means, in other words, imagine that you have that Reuven, for example, standing by the edge of the pit. Shimon starts blowing inside the pit, and in the middle of a blast of the shofar, he comes out. So it sounds like we're saying that Reuven is yotze. So Rabba says yotze, that he's yotze, which we're gonna discuss that, and we're gonna find a different explanation. But right now, this is what we assume to begin with is what it means. On the other hand, Rabba says, if he heard part of the tkiya before Alois HaShachar and part of it after, where in general, mitzvahs that have to be done by day, ideally they should be done only after Netzacham. But if you did them, in most mitzvahs that have to be done during the daytime, if you did them after Alois HaShachar, you are Yotz B'diyavid. Shofar, therefore, was one of those. So you are Yotze if it was after Alois HaShachar, but not before it. So if you heard part of the blast before, part of the tkiya before Alois HaShachar and part after, then Rambam says lo Yotze. Then you're not Yotze. Now, Omalei Abaya. So Abaya asks, Maishna Hosam, to be in a kula tkiya b'chiyuv v'leka. So what's the difference? In the second case, you're telling me that you have to have the whole tkiya is done at a time of chiyuv, and it's not, because part of it was before Alois HaShachar, and that's not a time yet which is kosher for blowing shofar. We don't have that really in our Gemara over here. We're not really going to discuss that point of how we know that it's only kosher during the day. We're going to learn about it in Masechta Megillah, Bes Hashem, that since the Torah says Yom Teruah, that it means it has to be by day. So given that you're saying that if some of it was before Alois HaShachar, you're not Yotze, even though you could say you heard half of it after Alois HaShachar, so then Hochanami, but in a kula tkiya b'chiyuv v'alekta. Wouldn't it be the same thing with the case of the pit, with Reuven and Shimon in the pit? Same idea. In other words, Reuven has only heard half a tkiya, because the first half, he only heard the echo, the reverberation of it, and that's he can't be Yotze with that. Only the second half, once Shimon came out of the pit, is Reuven hearing properly. And why is one case different than the other? Why in the first case are you saying he's Yotze and in the second case not? So the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta, how do you even think to compare those two cases? Hossam Laila Labzman Chiyuvahu Klal. In the second case, night is not a time of Chiyuv at all. Nobody can be Yotze hewing shofar at night. Therefore, we can say that you have the tkiya was begun at a time which is no good to blow shofar. Whereas over here, the burr is a place inside the burr, is a place where the people who are inside it can be Yotze, the ones who are standing inside it. We just said they're the ones who are Yotze because they hear the actual sound rather than the echo. So therefore, just because in this particular case, fine, you have Reuven standing by the edge of the pit, but the beginning of the tekiya was not done in a place relative to Reuven, it's a place where Reuven can't be Yotze because he's not hearing the actual sound. But relative to others, it's a place which is perfectly kosher for blowing shofar. So there's no reason we should say, therefore, says Rabba, that we should say that there's a problem with Reuven's hearing only half a tkiya. However, the Gemara says, "Lememre the Sover Rabba." Does that mean that Rabba? Does that mean Rabba says? By the way, throughout this whole sugya, you have a number of Rishonim have the Girsa, not Rabba but Rav. So does that mean that Rabba or Rava holds Shama Soif Tkiya Bloit Chilas Tkiya Yotze, that if you hear the end of a Tkiya without the beginning, you Yotze? And then it would automatically follow Tchilas Tkiya B'Vayif Soif Tkiya Yotze, that if you heard the beginning without the end, you would also be Yotze. Now, we discussed that yesterday in connection with the question about, we said in the Mishmikdash, they were blowing shofar and chatzotzeris, and then the shofar would continue after the chatzotzeris, and you hear the end of the sound of the shofar without the chatzotzeris. So we asked, we went through the same issue over there, that does that mean you can be Yotze with half a Tkiya? There we gave the answer that you're actually not. That the difference is that over there, because the shofar is chaviv, because it's precious to you, because it only comes once a year, therefore you're going to pay attention and you're going to listen to it over the sound of the chatzotzeris, and therefore you are actually hearing the entire sound of the shofar from beginning to end. But now, in our case, Rabbah is telling us you have a case where you heard only half of the tkiya, because again, the first half of it was inside the burr and it was muffled, and he still seems to be saying you're yotze. Well, let's go through the same proofs that we did over there and see if that can be made to work. Toshma, let's prove from a Mishnah at the end of our Masechta, Toka Berishona, if you blew the Tkiya at the beginning, or Moshach B'Shnia Kishtayim, and then the first set is Tkiya Trua Tkiya, and then you repeat that three times. So let's say again, you said you did the Tkiya, then you did the Trua, then you did the second Tkiya, and you had in mind that it'll be double as long, and it'll count. One half of it will count for the Tkiya at the end of the first set, and the second one will count for the Tkiya at the beginning of the second set. So does that work? The Mishnah says, Ein biyoda ela achas. No, it only counts for one, and then you need to blow a new tekiah before the second set. There is even an opinion of Rabbi Yitzchok Ibn Gaius, who says that actually you may not even be yotze that second tekiah at all, because the fact is you had in mind something that it can't be. It can't be two different tekiahs. Therefore, he says, the Ein biyoda ela achas actually means all you have is the first tekiah, and the true after it, you're still going to have to blow another tekiah to do the job properly at all. But anyway, even if we don't say that, even if we say it means that it counts as the tkiya at the end of the first set, definitely we're saying it doesn't count also as the beginning of the tkiya at the second set. Ba'amai, so now according to Rabba's logic, why not? Kisalak labatarti, it should count as two. Because according to him, it's good enough. It seems that so far from what he's saying, that it's good enough to hear only half a tkiya, as long as of course, it would have to be that's long enough to count for that purpose. In the case of the person blowing in the pit and then coming out of the pit in the middle, we would have to be talking about, of course, that the part that he blew outside the pit would be long enough all by itself to constitute a tkiya, or to constitute a true or whatever. But why don't we say it? So we see, though, we don't say that where the person wants the one tkiya to count for two. And the answer is because you could say even that, fine, you can say that a half a tkiya counts, but psukit tkiyasim ahadodi lepaskinon, but we're not going to break a tkiya in half and say that half of it counts for one and half for the other, that not. You want to say half of it doesn't count at all as the one that was inside the pit. Fine, you can say that, but not to say that we're going to take one tkiya and make it into two tkiyas. That we're not going to do. There are, by the way, somebody showing him who say maybe the truest would be different, because after all, the truest, every year you have, the truest is a bunch of separate sounds. So maybe conceivably, as long as you have enough that it's long enough to be a truer, maybe it would. But many other Rishonim disagree with that as well. Okay, anyway, Tashma, Hatekeel Secha, what about our Mishnah? Hatekeel Secha Bur or the Secha Dus or the Secha Pitas. We said if you're blowing shofar into a pit or into a cistern or into a big barrel, Im kol shofar shama yotza, if what you heard was the actual sound of the shofar, then you yotza. The im kol avara shama lo yotza, and if what you heard was the sound of the echo, then you're not yotza. Now, why shouldn't you be yotza in that second case? Now, am I leipuch betchilas tkiya? Shouldn't you be able to be yotza with the first part of the tkiya? Mikami dila agav kola, before the sound gets confused. Afterwards, in other words, you come to a point when you have the sound of the shofar gets mixed together with the echo, and then you have, and then you can't be yotze at that point. But as long as the blast of the shofar before the echo started was long enough to constitute a tkiya, why can't you be yotze with that? According to Rabba's logic, that a half a tkiya is good enough. And now, of course, we could answer that the Mishnah is talking about where there wasn't, but the fact that the Mishnah just says it as a blanket statement, if you heard the sound of the shofar versus if you heard the sound of the echo, implies you have to hear the entire thing as the sound of a shofar, not that you hear the sound of the shofar, and then later on, you start hearing the echo. So that seems to show, in other words, that you can't. You have to have a complete sound of the shofar before any echo. So in that case, by the same logic, you can't have then that Reuven is standing by the edge of the pit and he hears first an echo and then afterwards he hears the second half of the tkiya when Shimon is coming out of the pit. Based on our Mishnah, it sounds like that shouldn't work. So how can Rabba say it works? So the Gemara says, you're right. You know what Rabba is talking about? Not like we were assuming before that we're talking about two people, Reuven, who's been standing outside the pit the whole time, and Shimon, who was inside the pit before and now is coming out of it. We're talking about Shimon himself. We're talking about he himself is blowing a shofar for him to be Motzi himself. So he starts out in the pit. In the middle, he climbs out of the pit while he's still blowing the shofar. And therefore, fine, inside the pit, he was hearing the sound of the actual shofar, because inside there, the echo is not the problem. And outside, he's also hearing the clear sound of the shofar. So we're good. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Maila Memra. Well, in that case, why is Rabbi even bothering to mention? It seems fairly obvious then that he's Yotze. The answer is Mao de Tema. Without Rabba telling us, you would have thought Zimnin the Mapik Reshe. It could happen that he puts his head out first while the shofar is still inside the pit. Vakati shofar b'bur. The shofar itself is meanwhile still pointed down towards the pit. Become out of color. Now you have a problem that for that second during in the middle of the tkiya, he's hearing a sound of an echo rather than the actual sound of the shofar, because his ears are outside the pit. So that's the equivalent of Reuven standing by the edge of the pit, and the shofar itself is still inside. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabba is telling us we don't need to worry about that. So does that mean that even if he did that, he's Yotze? No, the Mefoshim say that's not what it means. It means that, generally speaking, that's not going to happen. Usually you're going to have the shofar is going to come out first. And once the shofar is out, you don't have, if somebody is blowing shofar outside the pit and you're standing inside, there's never any problem, because there's not going to be an echo from outside the pit that's going to prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah. So therefore, as long as the shofar is out first, and most of the time it is, then you have no problem. That's Rabba's Chiddush. You don't have to worry about that it's possible that he did the other way around, but the point is, the poskim say, you do have to, in fact, be careful to do that. In particular, your ears can't be coming out of the pit before the shofar does, because then you're going to have a problem of ma'agrav kola, that you have the reverberation, the echo, rather than the actual sound of the shofar. Okay.
So that's that. By the way, I mean, when the Rambam brings this halacha, he mentions a pit and he mentions a cistern. He does not mention a pitas, even though on a big barrel, even though on Mishnah mentioned it. And the Mefarshim explained, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that a barrel is actually not so simple. There's a barrel being much smaller than either of those things. There's a much greater likelihood that there's going to be echoes, and therefore that you're going to be hearing that rather than the sound of the shofar, and therefore it's much less likely that you're going to be able to be yotze in there. Although there are some Mefarshim who say maybe the reason that Rambam doesn't mention it is because how likely is it that a person is going to be inside a barrel? Okay. Fine. Now we're going to start talking about various kinds of situations involving a shofar where you may have other isurim involved when you can and can't be yotze. So Amar Rav Yehuda, the shofar shall oila lo yitka. You should not blow shofar with a shofar that comes from an oila. Meaning, in other words, that you have an animal that you designated as a korban oila, and you have now you could have, so the animal has horns, you could have, let's say, you cut off the horns, Rashi says, while the animal was alive. So now, so the reason why we have to say that, Rashi says, is because once the animal is shechted, and once the blood is sprinkled, then we're going to be talking about the concept of me'ila over here. Me'ila does not apply to anything that goes to the kohen. Since after the animal is shechted and the blood is sprinkled, then the skin of it and the horns of it, if they're detached from the animal, all go to the kohen, therefore me'ila wouldn't apply. So we have to be talking about, Rashi says, therefore, that forces Rashi to say that we're talking about where you cut off the horns while the animal was alive. Although there are some mefarshim, we'll talk about other possibilities. There's a Tosfos in Chulin that talks about a possibility where, like, you designated the shofar that you're going to use the value, you're going to sell the shofar and use the value of it to buy an oila. You have different possibilities that are brought up that maybe you took it off after the animal was shechted, but before the zrika. Anyway, so you shouldn't achatchila use such a shofar v'im toka yotze. But if you did, then you are yotze for reasons that we're going to talk about in a minute. On the other hand, the shofar shall shlomim lo yitka. On the other hand, you should not blow shofar with a shofar that comes from a shlomim animal, the imtoka lo yotze. And if you did, you're still not yotze. So my time, what's the difference between an ola and a shlomim? The difference is ola bas me'ila. The difference is that an ola is subject to me'ila. The rule in general is like this. Kodshe kodshim are subject to me'ila to begin with, while they're alive, as soon as you designated them as a korban. And then afterwards, after the zrikas damim, then you have the in the case of an ola, for example, the blood and the meat of it are all put on the mizbeach and burnt. And then afterwards you have the skin and whatever is left over goes to the kohenim, and me'ila does not apply to those. With kodshim kalim, such as shlomim, it's kind of the other way around. Me'ila does not apply to them while they're alive. After you shech them and after you sprinkle the blood, then me'ila applies to the emurim, the parts that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, so with an ola, in other words, so an ola is subject to me'ila while it's alive. So when you cut off this horn, let's say, for example, to take Rashi's example, you cut it off while the animal was alive. By the way, cutting it off doesn't make the animal a bal mum, otherwise you couldn't bring it as a korban anyway. So an ola, me'ila applies to kiven demar bar nafkal al-chulin. Now, what happens is, a general rule with anything of hektish, when you commit me'ila with it, and we're talking about the shogig, then the me'ila has an effect that it takes the object and makes it no longer hektish. Once you used it for your purposes, it leaves the property of hektish, and it now becomes yours. You are then chayev to bring a korban, to bring an asham me'ilos, and to pay hektish, a keren v'chomish for it, but the object itself becomes holy. Now that's only, Tosfos points out, that's only b'shogeg. So when we started saying lo yitka, it means you should not blow with it, knowing that it's a shofar of an ola. But if you did b'shogeg, then you're yotze. Whereas if you did it b'mezid, you wouldn't be yotze, because what we're saying over here is you need that it should become cholin. And if you did it b'mezid, that wouldn't make it cholin. Only when you do me'ila b'shogeg does it become cholin. So therefore, so kiven de marba, so once mistakenly you blew the shofar, not realizing that it's from an oila, not realizing that it's also whatever the shogig was exactly, nafkal ala chulin, so now that shofar becomes chulin, and therefore you can be yotze with it like any other shofar. Shlomim de lav mene me'ila minu. On the other hand, shlomim, where me'ila does not apply to the kodshim kalam as a whole, only to the emurim, and only after the sprinkling of the blood, therefore when you use this horn, it does isurin isuru who derochid bahu. So there's still an isur riding on this corn. Veloy nafki lecholin. Therefore, it doesn't go out lecholin, and therefore you can't be yotzer with it. An interesting point, by the way, is the Ritva brings a couple of things over here. One reason why we're saying, why Rabbi Yehuda is saying you wouldn't be yotze with it, is because it would be a mitzvah ba avera, because you're doing the mitzvah through an avera, because it still belongs to Hekesh. But then he talks about that maybe not necessarily, maybe mitzvah ba avera only applies to korbanos. We talked about this in Masech Pesukah, for example. So maybe it only applies to Korbanos and maybe certain other mitzvahs that are coming to make us to make Hashem remember us for good. So actually, one argument is Shofar is like that. But we say that Shofar is that Hashem should remember us for the good. But a different explanation is like this: if you say that he's Yotze, then it comes out that he did the Avera of Me'ilah. So maybe better we would say let him not be Yotze. That way he won't have committed Me'ilah. And that way, so in other words, better he should not be yotze the mitzvah and not have been doing the avera of me'ilah rather than being yotze, and it comes out then by being yotze he's committed me'ilah. Okay. However, the Gemara asks, maskif lo Rava. Rava asks on this, ema small. Let's consider, when does the me'ilah actually take place? Not when he first picks it up. Labasa de toka. Only after he's completed the tkiyas, when he's been yotze the mitzvah, can we say that he committed me'ilah, that he used it for his purposes. Well, ki kataka be'isora taka. Well, it comes out then, either way, even if it was a shofar from an oila, when he actually blew shofar, it was still osur. The me'ilah, which was saying by an oila, would take it out of the possession of Hekdesh, that me'ilah only goes into effect when he's finished the tkiyas. So then during the tkiyas themselves, it still belongs to Hekdesh, and he can't use it. So then it comes out, but it comes out, it should be no good either. So Rava says, rather, we have to say that in either case, you're not Yotze, for the reason that we just said, because during the Tekiyas themselves, it still belongs to Hekdesh, and it's still, as we said, either it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera, or the vote would be, as the Ritva's second explanation, that better let him not fulfill the mitzvah, and that way he won't have committed me'ilah at all. Hoda Omar Rav, Hoda Omar, but then Rava changed his mind and said, Echad Zeva Echad Ze Yotze. Actually, in either case, he is Yotze, even if it was from, whether it was from an Oila, whether it was from a Shlomim, he would be Yotze, because mitzvahs, lavna, honest mitnu, mitzvahs are not given for Hana. Meaning that, so Rashi says that a mitzvah is not meant to be something that you have, that when you use something for a mitzvah, you can't call it a Hana. The purpose of doing a mitzvah is not the Hana, it's not the benefit you get from it. Rashi uses the expression, la oila tzavareyem nitnu. The mitzvahs are given to be a yoke on your neck. You have to keep mitzvahs because Hashem said so. So that's what it is. In other words, so the fact that you used it, for a mitzvah, the fact that you may have gotten hanah, you may have enjoyed the sound of it. We don't care about that. If that hanah is not considered a hanah, therefore there's no me'ilah to talk about, and therefore you're yotze. You're not getting in. You're getting enough, of course, because you get a schar, but that's not in this world. Or even if it is, it's an indirect thing. You're getting because you did the mitzvah. Therefore, Hashem gives you a reward, but that's not directly tied to you. You don't get that hanah directly from the object. Therefore, Rava says it's mutter. Now, we're still not saying you should do it l'hatchila, but at least b'di'evad you are yotze either. Okay. More on this topic about shofaris. Where you have other isurim involved, Omer of Yehuda, b'shofar shel avodah zarah lo yitka, you should not blow with the shofar of avodah zarah. So that could be an example where, let's say, so Rashi gives an example where the shofar was used as a meshamshe avodah zarah, as something with which to serve avodah zarah. So let's say, for example, somebody used the shofar as a funnel to pour out a libation in front of the avodah zarah. So that would be an example. Again, different Mephoshim talk about different other possibilities. You could have the shofar itself was worshipped. You could have the shofar was attached to an animal that was worshipped, etc. So you shouldn't use it. The imtoka yotze, but if you did, then b'dieved you yotze. Again, because mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu. So even though avodah zarah is osur b'hana, again, we say based on the principle of mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu, it's not considered a hana that should be osur. On the other hand, the shofar shall erni dachas lo yitka v'im taka lo yotza. But if it's a shofar that came from an erni dachas, that not only you can't blow with, but even if you did, you're not yotza. My timer, erni dachas katuti michtas shure. Because since everything from an Irani Dachas has to be burnt, then we consider this shofar now as if it was already burnt, and we learned before on Chavzayin Amud Beis that a shofar has to have a minimum size. So therefore, something that's going to be burnt, we consider it now as if it was already burnt. Therefore, it doesn't have that minimum size. The minimum size would be a tefach, and now we consider it as though it's reduced to ashes and doesn't have that minimum size. We've talked about that before. For example, in Sukkah, we learned about it in connection with a lulav of Avodah Zarah, same thing. A lulav has to have a minimum size. In general, any mitzvah where you have to have a minimum size of something, it can't be from an Irani Dachas. Now, the question is, in that case, Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy as well. So therefore, all the Rishonim explain that when we say Avodah Zarah over here, we mean that it was an Avodah Zarah that belonged to a goy. And we have to be talking about when the Yid picked it up, he didn't have in mind to acquire it. Because an Avodah Zarah that belongs to a Jew, you can never be mevato. Whereas an Avodah Zarah that belongs to a goy is not necessarily always going to remain also bahanah, because you can be mevato it. So,
But he's blowing that
mevato doesn't mean that you have to actually destroy it. Mevato just means that the goy...
We're talking about that the goy was a vatla, or did you pick it up right there?
In particular, it brings in the post can bring that the right way would be that the goy has to have been mevatla before Yom Tov, because he was mevatla on Yom Tov at the beginning of Yom Tov, it was unusable for the mitzvah, and then during Yom Tov itself, it's questionable whether we have a concept we've discussed in Sukkah whether yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs or not. So because of that suffix, better we should have that the goy was mevatel before Yom Tov, and that avoids the whole problem. Even then, by the way, we're not saying you should do it l'hatchila, because the fact is something that was used for Avodah Zarah, even if you mevatel it, it's still considered most l'gavoya. It's still something repulsive and disgusting to Hashem, and l'hatchila you shouldn't be using it. But if that's what's available, then as long as the goy was mevatel it, and again, we're saying really that bittul should take place before Yom Tov, then b'dieved you could use it.
Okay, you're talking about the goyim's mevatel, so it's not a Avodah Zarah at that point.
But nevertheless, it's still most. No, sorry, you're right. What we're saying over here is like this. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Even if the goy was not mevatel it, you picked it up not intending to acquire it. Fine, it's still something that belongs to a goy. It's still Avodah Zarah of a goy. You're not allowed to have hanah from it. But mitzvah slav lahonis. If the goy was mevatel it, then you have much less of an issue. Yeah, no, sorry, you're right. Let's say
the voice that. The call that comes out of the shofar, would you say that's separate from the shofar itself? The shofar itself?
Doesn't matter. I mean, the voice itself is something insubstantial. The question would be whether you have hana, and the answer is the hana that you're having mitzvah slav b'honis nidu. We don't say that the hana you get from the mitzvah is considered a hana.
Even though you feel some pleasure out of it.
You may well, but nevertheless, yeah. So we're gonna talk about that soon. Where you have a physical pleasure is different, but yeah. Omar Rabba, Hamudra Hanoa Mechavera, if somebody made a neder not to have Hanoa from somebody else, Mutul at Koyalash Kiyosha Mitzvah, that other person is still allowed to blow him the Tekiyas for the Mitzvah. Because again, Mitzvah Slav Lahonis Nitnu, so the fact that so Reuven had made a neder not to have Hanoa from Shimon, if Shimon now blows Shofar for him, doesn't matter. Shimon's blowing is not considered a Hanoa for Reuven, that would be awesome. Likewise, Hamudra Hanoa Mishofar Mutul at Koyabo Tekiyosha Mitzvah. If somebody made a neder not to have hanah from a shofar, he's still allowed to blow with that shofar a tekiyah shal mitzvah for the same reason because mitzvah slav b'honis. So Tosfos discusses over here, and other Rishonim discuss the ins and outs of that. Tosfos actually says that there could actually be a case where if a person says I make a neder that I'm not allowed to hear tekiyah shofar, then maybe that would be also to him.
He has a mitzvah
to hear shofar, but you have a concept that there's one of the many differences between the Dorim and Shavuos is which ones can be chal on a mitzvah. The basic difference is a Shavuah is you're saying, for example, I'm not going to do such and such. Yeah. A neder is you're saying this object is this and this object is to me like a korban or whatever is also to me. So therefore, for example, a person can't make a Shavuah, I won't hear shofar because you're obligated to hear shofar. Your Shavuah can't override that. But you're able to say, for example, the hewing of a shofar or the blowing of a shofar is also to me,
which are okay. Blowing itself is an intangible object. You'd have to say something like the shofar is the shofar is to me is also to me as far as blowing it or whatever. And then maybe so Tosfos says maybe in that case he'd be also. So maybe somebody else could blow for him then still fine, but he wouldn't be able to.
The shofar or that particular shofar.
That if he says that particular shofar, obviously he can blow any other shofar. But we're saying if he said in general any shofar, yeah. But yeah, okay. Yeah, with that said, by the way, when we say over here mutalit koya boy tkiya shal mitzvah, a number of the Rishonim have a girsa, not mutalit koya boy, that he is allowed to blow it, but mutalit koya loy, others are allowed to blow it for him. He himself, in fact, having said that this shofar is also to him, is off limits to him, he would not be allowed to blow that shofar, but other people would be allowed to blow that shofar and he could listen to it, because then we'd say mitzvah slav l'honest. Okay. By the way, more dinim about this, since we're talking about mudah hanah, the Omar Rabbah, ha mudah hanah mechaveri, if Reuven makes a neder not to have hanah from Shimon, maza olav mechatas v'mezag shamim, nevertheless, Shimon could be sprinkling on him mechatas, paradrum of water, to make him tahor, but only during the winter, avaloi v'mezachama, but not during the summer. Because during the winter, there's no hanah except for the kima mitzvah, and again, mitzvah slav l'honest. But in summer, he's also enjoying the cool water on his skin. Therefore, that's already hana. That would be awesome.
But does that help? Does that help him? Is he?
Either way, it makes him tar. But the point is that if he does it, the point is he made a neder not to have hana from the other guy. If the other guy sprinkles par adruma on him, water on him during the summer, he's going to be getting malchus for being over on his neder. Because he said not to, he's not going to have hana from the other guy. Yeah. Which, by the way, that's the point. In other words, so when do we say mitzvah slav l'honest nidu? When there's no actual physical benefit from it, but here in the summertime, he actually has a physical benefit from having the cool water on his skin. Therefore, that's considered a hana.
But either way, he's good.
Either way, he's becoming tahor. Hamudah hana mimayan. Similarly, Rava says if a person made a neder not to have hana from a certain spring. He's still allowed to tovel in that spring where he needs to for a mitzvah, namely where he's tamei. We're not talking about the kind of tvila that we do nowadays in a minute. We're talking about in the olden times when a person became tamei mes or tamei sheretz or whatever and has to tovel. So he's allowed to tovel in that for a mitzvah. Again, during the winter where he's not getting hana from that, but again, not during the summertime because then he's actually enjoying the cold water. And then there is hana asaguf.
Sounds like a subjective thing, you know.
Well, that's what we're saying. You know, it's during a season of the year when we don't expect that he's getting hanav. And Tosfos points out why do we need all these cases? Is it's one thing we made a neder not to have hanav from the other guy. Then you would say maybe the other guy is allowed to blow shofar and sprinkle parah druma water from him because you could assume when he made the neder in the first place he didn't necessarily have in mind such things for mitzvahs. But if he said explicitly, I'm not going to have hanah from the shofar or from the spring, you would think that means he had in mind not to use them for mitzvah either. And nevertheless, we're still saying it's mutter. Next. Okay. New topic. Well, not really new, but still we're going to be talking about tkiya shofar, but now we're going to be talking about another point. We talk now about the idea of mitzvah slav l'honest nitnu, and therefore that the hearing of the shofar is not considered a hana. Now we're going to talk about another point about the concept mitzvah tzrichas kavana. When you do a mitzvah, do you have to have a kavana in order for the mitzvah to be valid? Or is it that you're yotze, as long as you did the action of the mitzvah, even if you didn't have kavana?
To be yotze the mitzvah.
To be yotze the mitzvah, yeah. So the Gemara says, shocholay la'avor d'shmur. They sent a message to the father of Shmuel, who was, we've learned many times before, was a distinguished Rav in Bavel. So they sent him a message. You should know the following din. Kfoy v'ochol matzah yotze. If a person was forced to eat matzah and he ate it, then he's still yotze. So we have to figure, kfoy man, who forced him to eat the matzah that we're saying we're yotze? Ilema kfoy shed. Do we mean that a shed forced him? In other words, that he was crazy, that he went crazy, and in his insanity, he ate matzah. Well, that can't be. Bahotani, we learn in a b'risa. Itim cholim, itim shoyte. If you have a person who sometimes is healthy and sometimes is a shoyte. So, for example, an epileptic would be one example. You have other people like that. During the times when he's healthy and normal, then he's like any other normal person as far as all purposes in halacha. So during those times, he can be yotze mitzvahs, he can be giving instructions to write a get, etc., etc. And during the times when he's a shota, then he's like a shota for all purposes. Anything he does during that time doesn't count as a mitzvah or as an avera, and so on and so forth. So if we're talking about kfoy shed, that means that right now he's a shota. When he ate matzah during that time that he's a shota, he's not yotze. What do you mean he's yotze?
Because he was forced to do that.
So that's what we mean. Kfoy shed means, in other words, literally a shed forced him, but it means, in other words, he went temporarily insane. Temporary insanity. So now, during that time, if he eats matzah, he's not yotze. So what are you telling me that he is? So Omar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, what we mean is that the Persians or other goyim forced him to eat matzah. Interesting point over here is, so even though he didn't have in mind to be yotze matzah, nevertheless he's yotze. The point is, in other words, if Jews forced him, obviously we say that for sure he's yotze. There's not even a question about it. But here, goyim forced him. They didn't even know that they're causing him to fulfill a mitzvah. Nevertheless, he's still yotze. There are some of the Rishonim that say that at least it has to be, though, that he actually knows that what he's eating is matzah. If he thought instead that what he's eating is something else, and it turns out that it was matzah, maybe he's not yotze. There's also an interesting vort that the Rogachover says on this. Why are we mentioning Davka Parsim? Why not just mention Goyim as usual? And he says, because the Persians, we find in the Gemara, used to generally eat reclining throughout the whole year, unlike most other Goyim in those times who didn't. So the vort would be, in other words, now he has to be reclining when he's eating the matzah to be yotze. So if other Goyim forced him and he's actually leaning to do it, then fine. At least we know he's doing it in order to fulfill the mitzvah, because he knows that they may be forcing him to eat it at their banquet or whatever, but he's leaning, he's reclining, knowing that he's going to fulfill the mitzvah. So of course he's yotze. But if he's among the Persians, where they're reclining anyway, it's not so obvious he's doing it for the mitzvah. Nevertheless, we're still saying he's yotze. So Omar Rava, says, from this we can learn, Zoyse Meres, we see from this, going back now to Tkiyas Shofar, Hatekea L'Shir Yotze. If a person blows Shofar for music, not to be Yotze the Mitzvah, but just in order to play it as a musical instrument, or Rashi gives a second explanation from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Yehuda, that the Girsa is not L'Shir, but rather L'Shed, where he's blowing the Shofar in order to scare away a shed, in order to dissipate a ruach ra, a bad spirit, a melancholy or whatever, that's grabbing a hold of him. So Rava says, you see from this that he's yotze.
Is he blowing the tekiyos and truas?
We're talking about he's blowing the exact sequence. He's blowing the nine sounds that he needs to, but he's blowing it not for the sake of the mitzvah, but rather l'shir for a song, or l'shed to get rid of a melancholy or whatever spirit that's possessing him. Yeah. So Gemara says, Pshita, I know hach. Well, of course, isn't that effectively the same thing? Yeah, if we're saying that Parisium forced him to eat matzah and he's yotze, sure, by the same token, if he's blowing shofar, l'shir or l'shed, he should also be yotze. So why does Rava even need to say that? The answer is Maud Tamer. Without Rava telling us, you would have thought, Hosam Echel Omer Echel Matzah Omer Achmana V'Ho'achal. The difference is that there, you could say, the Torah said, eat matzah. The fact is, he ate matzah. But over here, you could argue zichren truah. After all, the Torah tells us there has to be a remembrance of truah behind this asik ba'almahu. You could say that what he's doing over here is not truly blowing shofar, but rather just like playing around. Kamash malon. Nevertheless, we say it's not, and he is yotze. Now we're going to learn at the end of the masechta that hamis asik lo yotze. That in fact, if a person is misasik, that for example, that where he's just playing around and he makes the sounds of the shofar, then he's not yotze. But over here, so over here, we're using the source. In fact, Maharsha asks, what do you mean over here? We're saying over here, Misasif is yotze, whereas over there, it sounds like he's not. But in other words, there's a different kind of Misasif. Over there, he's not even intent, as the Gemara is going to say, actually, a little further over here, in a different context. We're talking about that he's not even intending to blow shofar. He's just playing around and accidentally makes the notes. Here, we're talking about he intends to make the notes, but not for the sake of the mitzvah. So that's Rashi. So Rashi's explanation is, the difference is that the fact is, again, mitzvahs ain't sriches kavana. So therefore, that's why he's yotze by the shofar. But without Rava telling us, you would have thought, you know what, it's different when he eats matzah. After all, we have a concept in halacha that says like this. Usually, if a person is misasik with most averus, then he doesn't bring a chakas for it. If a person, for example, is misasik and accidentally does malacha on Shabbos, he's not chayv a chakas. A person is misasik and pours a libation or something in front of avodah zarah, he's not going to be chayv chakas for that. But on the other hand, we say if a person is misasik with chaylev, he was playing around with chaylev and accidentally swallowed it, then he's still chayv a chakas. He didn't mean to, but he still had hanah from it. So the same way you could say over here with the matzah, he had enough. I mean, his body, after all, enjoys the matzah and gets nourishment from it. So therefore, you would have more reason to say that he's yotze by the matzah than you would by shofar, and therefore we need to be told that he's yotze by shofar as well. Rabbi Hanan explains it somewhat differently, that the vote is that you would, because we're saying zikr and shua, when you're blowing shofar, you'd think you need a little more kavana. The Torah is telling you zikr and tshua. You have to remember, you have to have in mind that you're blowing tshua, and nevertheless, we're saying kamash malon, that even if he's only blowing l'shir or l'shed, then he's still yotze. So the Gemara says, alma kasava rava mitzvah saint tzrichas kavana. Okay, so we see from that, evidently, that rava holds mitzvahs don't require kavana. Even though you only did the action of the mitzvah without having the proper kavana, nevertheless, you're still yotze. Well, let's analyze that. Esve Abaye, it says it's supposed to be. So Abaye asks on Rava the following. We learn in a Mishnah in Brachas, Hoya Koyde Batoda, if a person was leaning from the Torah, the Giyaz Mana Mikra, and it came time to say Shema, so now it so happened that he was reading the parasha of Shema, Im Kivin Libo Yotza, so if he has Kavana to be, Pashas, Kavana means the Kavana to be Yotza, the Mitzvah of Kirishma, Yotza, then he's Yotza, Vim Lavlo Yotza, and if not, he's not Yotza. So you see, apparently, that he has to have Kavana. So my love, kivin libi lotzis. L'chura kivin libi means that he has in mind to be yotze. So the Gemara says, well, no, that's not necessarily what it means. Licorice, it means he has in mind to read. So we're in licorice hokokori. He is reading the psukim. He doesn't have to have any more kavana than the fact that he's having kavana to actually read the psukim out of the Sefer Torah over there. The answer is b'kori lahagia. The answer is that we're talking about where he's reading it not for the purpose of reading, but for the purpose of correcting the Sefer Torah. So what happens, Rashi says, in that case, he's not really reading, he's megamdim. That's like he's not saying necessarily every word, he's only saying like some of the words. So then, in kivin libra, it means that he doesn't do that, he actually is careful to say every word. So he's not necessarily having in mind to be yotze, the mitzvah of Krishma, but nevertheless, he is actually saying every word. A different explanation of b'kodeh lahagia that somebody showing him say is, when a person is reading to be magia, you have to remember there are various places in tefillin or mezuzahs and in Sefer Torah where you have maleim and you have chaserim. You have words that are written with or without a vav, for example. So what's going to happen in order not to make a mistake? Now, like this, if you're reading it and you're actually reading the words as pronounced, you may not notice, let's say, the difference between where it's supposed to say mezuzahs or totofos or whatever, with or without a vav. So what are you going to do when you get to the word latatafas, for example, in the place where it's written without the vobs, you're going to read it latatfas. And that way, if you notice in front of you, hey, there's vobs over here, you're going to realize, hey, there's a problem. So now, if you're reading like that, we're saying you're not yotze because you're not saying the words properly. So kivin libe would mean that you're actually reading the words as they're supposed to be pronounced with the proper nekudas, but not necessarily that you're having in mind to be yotze kudishma. So that's the point. Rava is saying, so you can't prove from that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, because all you need there is kavana to actually read the words properly. The Ritva, by the way, points out, why don't we say, I mean, you have by Krishna, you have a special thing that you have to have kavana to accept O Malchus Shemayim. And he says, we could be talking about it here about the second or third parasha. Well, you don't need that. The first parasha, yeah, you need that basic kavana, but the second and third parasha, yes, you don't. So we could be talking about those. Okay. So no proof from that against Rava. Next, Toshma.
One question.
Yeah.
In Kirashma, we say, after Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'edecha. Isn't that obvious? It means you have to have kavana in the mitzvah.
That's what I just said. That's in Parashat Rishonah. Again, Parashat Rishonah, you have to have a little more kavana. But in Parashat Rishonah, you have to have a little more kavana. In Parashat Shniyah, and in Bahoyim Shamaya, and Bayeme, you don't necessarily.
No, but that should apply to all the mitzvahs.
Yes, but nevertheless, we're still saying as long as you did the action of the mitzvah, then the fact that it's not the ideal way to do it, you know, to put it in terms that the Altareba says in Tanya, if you do a mitzvah without Ava and Yira, then it's like a bird without wings. It's not going to fly, but nevertheless, a bird without wings is still a kosher bird. So you still have a kosher mitzvah. It's just not the ideal kind of mitzvah.
Okay.
We're discussing whether you need kavanah to do a mitzvah or not, right?
But that's what we're saying. As long as you did the mitzvah, then the kavanah is less important. Kavanah is very important as far as that the mitzvah should fly up and to shemayim. But that whether you were yotze the mitzvah or not, we're saying. But if we say mitzvah saying tzrichas kavanah, then we would say that you don't need that. Nevertheless, the mitzvah is still a mitzvah. What we say.
But my point is, how can we say that a mitzvah and tzrichim learn kavanah when in Kriyat Shema we say that we have to love Hashem with
all
our heart and all our
legs? That's fine. You have to love Hashem. It doesn't mean that if you didn't do that, you're not yotze the mitzvah. There's a big difference between what you should do and what you must do. You should have Ava V'Yira, but it's not an indispensable prerequisite. That's all we're saying. So now, Yaakov,
where do you take that from?
Because that's how it is. Can we continue? Somebody else wants to ask a question also.
That the tefillah that was not said properly can be jump-started later on.
Yeah, that later on you can say the same. Later on you have a tefillah that's collected from different parts of the tefillahs throughout the year, and you can be milo all the tefillahs throughout the year. Yeah, but that's how it is. That's that's what we're discussing over here. According to Rava, Rava is saying very nice. It says b'chol levav, means that you should. Doesn't mean that without it your mitzvah is possible. So far we're saying that your mitzvah
that's
can
Rava's
be
opinion.
Without it.
But that's Rava's opinion. Where did he take it from?
We're taking it from because the fact is Hashem tells you to do the mitzvah. Hashem is telling you to do the mitzvah. Hashem wants you, la'ava and la'yira, but we're saying those are not indispensable. In fact, the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya over there, when you get down to it, ava and yira are two mitzvahs of their own. They're two mitzvahs among the 613 mitzvahs. But that means, in other words, you have 611 besides them. So if you're doing a mitzvah and it doesn't have ava yira, it's not a complete mitzvah, but again, it's still a mitzvah. You still were yotzeh. But that's what we're in the middle of discussing now. So let's go on. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof from our Mishnah. Hoya over achode beis haknesses. We said if a person is walking behind shul, oisha hoya beis samocha beis haknesses, or his house is near the shul, v'shama kel shofar kel megillah, he hears from inside the shul, he hears the sound of the shofar or the sound of the megillah, im kivin liba yotze, if he has kavana, but pashtos, it means kavana to be yotze, then he's yotze, v'im lav lo yotze, and if not, then he's yat yotze, my lav, so doesn't that mean im kivin liba yotze? It means if he has in mind to be yotze. Therefore, that would show that mitzvahs do need kavana. And by the way, you know, we should point out over here, the kavana to be yotze mitzvah is really not the same as av of a year anyway. Even if we say, you know, a person could be having in mind, I'm going to be yotze the mitzvah of shofar, that still doesn't necessarily mean that he's actually evoking av and yira right now. There's many different levels of kavana. So even in, you know, for sure, we're not saying that Ava and Yira are indispensable. What we're discussing over here is even the basic thought, I am being yotze this mitzvah, is that indispensable or not? That has nothing to do with b'chol levav v'chol nafshach.
You're saying that he can hate Akadosh Baruch Hu and listen to the shofar and he would be yotze.
If we're saying mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah, that as long as he's hearing the sound of the shofar, that's what we're going to be discussing. Does he have to know? He has to at least know that what he's hearing is the sound of the shofar, as we're going to say in a second. But with that, he doesn't have to necessarily know that there is a mitzvah to hear shofar and that he's being yotze that mitzvah right now. You know, in Tanya these days, the Alter Rebbe talks about, we just started today a section, Lahavin, we have to understand how it is that mitzvahs maizdias bring down elikus into the world. And the Alter Rebbe goes into a very, very long explanation that's going to take us about 2 weeks to cover in Tanya, explaining why it is that what's so important about mitzvahs maizdias that they bring down elikus into the world. And yet that means even to a certain extent without kavanah. Obviously, kavanah helps a great deal, but the mitzvah by itself, all of the mitzvah all by itself, evokes a certain gilead of course in the world. So that's what we're discussing over here. Okay, so my lav im kibin libe lotzis, l'chora im kibin libe lot means that he has in mind to be yotze, and therefore you see that you need at least that minimum kavana, not like what Rava is saying. And then Rava says, no, not necessarily. It means l'shmaya, means that he's paying attention to hear the whole thing. And Rava says, l'shmaya, v'ashama. What do you mean? He is hearing it. So what extra kavana does he need? The answer is sabr chamor ba'almu. Because we're talking about, in other words, it has to at least be that he knows that what he's hearing is the shofar or the megillah. It can't be, for example, that what he thinks that what he's hearing is the sound of a donkey bray. Because then, Taka, he wouldn't be yotze. Because then, even though what he heard was the sound of a shofar, he didn't even know that it was the sound of a shofar. But once he knows that it's the sound of a shofar, maybe we're saying that would be enough to be yotze. Now, the obvious question is, whether when you're hearing the megillah, you can't possibly think that it's a donkey braying that sounds like words. So the Rashash says, okay, you could have, let's say, for example, somebody who doesn't know Lashon Kodesh. He hears the Megillah being read in Lashon Kodesh. To him, it sounds like gibberish.
It could be that the first first note that he hears, he doesn't know what it is. It could be a mm-hmm. break. After that's passed, obviously, it's already in Megillah. But he can't tell.
But maybe the beginning of it, that could be also. Yeah, the Orach HaNer just says that, okay, the braying, maybe we're talking about more shofar, we're not talking about Megillah. But the point is, he has to know that what he's hearing is the shofar or the Megillah, respectively. Not necessarily are we saying that he has to actually, know that he actually has to have in mind the yotz of this particular mitzvah. Okay. The Gemara says, Esvi. The Gemara says, again, Abaya asked the question on Rava. We learn in a Braisa, Niskaven Shemeyav le Niskaven Mashmiya. If the one who hears the shofar, for example, has in mind, but the one who's sounding the shofar, the one who's blowing it, does not have in mind, Mashmiyav le Niskaven Shemeya, or vice versa, the one who's blowing the shofar has in mind, but the one who's hearing it did not have in mind, Lo Yotze, so he's not Yotze, the listener is not Yotze, Ad his unless both of them have in mind. So let's consider what we mean by having in mind. I can understand what the case is where the one who's blowing the shofar has in mind and the one who's listening does not have in mind. The second case of the Braisa, like we said, let's say the person blowing shofar knows, of course, he's blowing shofar. The one who hears it from a distance thinks that he's hearing a donkey bray. So fine, we're saying that he's not Yotze because he didn't even know that he's hearing Shofar. El and Niskaven Shemeyav and Niskaven Mashmiya, but the first case of the Braisa, where the one who's listening has Kavana, but the one who's making the sound does not have Kavana. What would be the case? Lav v'tekeh l'shir. Wouldn't that be Rava's case where he's blowing in order to play music? And the Braisa is saying he's not Yotze. So you see that mitzvahs do need Kavana. The answer is no. The Gemara answer is that not necessarily, because you could say, what does it mean? Lo niskaven duma dekom manbach nabuch. It could mean, for example, that he's just making like a barking sound. What does that mean? Rashi says, well, he's not blowing the sounds long enough to be the minimum length of a tekiah, for example. So therefore, so that's what we're saying. He's not bechaven to blow the notes long enough. Therefore, he's not yotze. Tosfos says, well, then of course, even if he does have kavana, he's not yotze unless he blows long enough. So Tosfos says, what it means is, let's say he didn't intend to blow a note that was going to be long enough for a tekiah, which we're going to learn. We're going to learn in a few days, Be'ez Hashem. We're going to talk about the actual shear of a tekiah and the shear of a trua, and we'll talk about the various opinions of the Rishonim on the subject, Be'ez Hashem. But so let's say he didn't. Let's say, for example, a tekiah needs to be. So for example, a tekiah needs to be a minimum length of 9 what's called trumitin. Trumitin are the short sounds, like that of trua is made out of. Those are called trumitin. So a tekiah has to be at least 9 of those. And we'll talk about when it comes to tashrat, whether it needs to be longer. But anyway, let's say, for example, the minimum length of a tekiah is 9. So let's say that choice says, maybe we're talking about the person had in mind to blow one that was only, let's say, 5 trumitin in length. And by accident, he ended up blowing 9. So then we're saying that he didn't have in mind to blow a full shear. Maybe even Tosfos says that's what Rashi means. Another possibility, Tosfos says, is Manbach Nabuchi of Ogemar over here could mean that he was playing around with the shofar and blowing into it, and accidentally he made a sound. So then we're saying you can't be Yotze with that. But not necessarily do we say that if he had in mind to actually blow the notes in their proper length, but he didn't have in mind that it's for the mitzvah of shofar, that we shouldn't be yotze. Not necessarily is that what the Braisa is saying. So maybe we could say that. Okay, so Rava was saying that if a person blows shofar, the proper sequence, tkiya, trua, tkiya, 3 times, at each one of them, the proper length, 9 trumitin for the tkiya, et cetera, et cetera. Rava is saying he's yotze, even though he didn't have in mind that he's doing it for blowing shofar, he was doing it as a piece of music. Now, we had a braisa that says that if the mashmiya did not have in mind, then we're not yotze. So we're saying manbach nabuchi, various possibilities mean, in other words, that he didn't have in mind to actually blow the notes the proper length. So if, let's say, he had in mind that he's going to blow a tekiah that was shorter than what a tekiah is supposed to be, and accidentally he blew it longer, then Tosfos says that could be one of the cases where we're talking about over here where he's not yotze. But as long as he had in mind that he's going to blow the notes in the proper sequence and in the proper length, even though he didn't have in mind for the mitzvah of shofar, maybe the Braisa is not talking about that case. In fact, we could say, like Rava, that he is in fact yotze
without having kavanah.
Right. Okay. So as a matter of fact, though, an interesting point is that the so here in the Gemara, we're comparing eating matzah without kavanah to blowing to hearing shofar or blowing shofar without kavanah. And we're saying if you're yotze by matzah, then you're also yotze by shofar. However, it's interesting, the Rambam splits those apart and says by matzah, you are yotze. So for example, like we said, Parsiim, whoever forced a person to eat matzah, he's still yotze. Whereas when it comes to shofar, he says he's not yotze. Or at least he implies that he's not Yotze. So the Nosa Kalam and the Rambam have a hard time explaining why, in fact, the Rambam would make that distinction. In fact, the Magen Mishnah goes so far as to say that it's possible that there's a mistake in the copies of the Rambam that we have because he seems to be inconsistent. So they talk about different possibilities. Maybe, after all, the difference is by matzah, again, there is a physical object that you're eating, whereas by shofar, you're not actually blowing it, you're only hearing it. There could be, because at the end of the Amud, we'll learn tomorrow morning, Best Hashem, that we have Reb Zera telling his Shamash to have in mind blow for me. So we see that Reb Zera holds that by shofar you do need kavanah. So maybe, in other words, we would say the halacha is not like Rava in this. Rava is saying mitzvah, saying tzrichas kavanah applies to shofar as well, but not necessarily would we follow that. And there are various other possible ways that they use to reconcile it. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rava, okay, so if you're telling me mitzvahs don't require kavanah, in other words, you can be doing an action of a mitzvah, even though you don't have kavanah to do the mitzvah, nevertheless, you're still yotzeh, well, that can come out, you can have a problem of bal tosif. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to add to mitzvahs, you're not allowed to take away from mitzvahs. So now if you say mitzvahs require kavanah, then fine. You can have a person is doing an extra mitzvah or a mitzvah multiple times or whatever, and he's not having in mind to be yotze, so therefore no problem. But if you say mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavanah, then it's going to come out. If he's adding to a mitzvah, or if he's doing a mitzvah extra times, then it should be over on bal tosif. So elamayata, by your logic, hayoshin b'shmini b'sukkah, if a person is sleeping in the sukkah on shmini atzeres, not for the sake of the mitzvah, yuka, he should be getting malchus because he's doing the isur of bal tosif. So we could be talking about in sa'ah. So the Ritva talks about over here, not necessarily are we talking about in chutz laretz, because in chutz laretz, since the Chachamim told us to sit in the sukkah, shmini atzeres, to be on the safe side, because it might be shvi'i shel pesach, that for sure Abaya is not saying you should get malchus for it, because the Torah tells us to listen to what the Chachamim would say. We're talking about where he does it, so we could be talking about where he does it in Eretz Yisrael, right, where they don't have the concept of sitting in the sukkah, shmini atzeres. We could also, I guess, be talking about where he's doing it in chutz laretz, not for the sake of the mitzvah. Again, according to, if you're saying mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah, then he should be over on bal tosif. Omaloi, so Rava answers him, shani omer mitzvahs ain't over alein el bizman. The answer is, I would say you're only over on a mitzvah, you're only over on bal tosif, only if you do the mitzvah in its time. So for example, during Sukkot itself, if you put an extra min in your lulav, then you're over on bal tosif. But when you're wearing tefillin, you put an extra parasha in the tefillin, etc. But to add extra days is not considered bal tosif, because that's the time of the mitzvah is over. Therefore, bal tosif doesn't apply.
Did that person have kavanah to be doing the mitzvah on Shmini?
Well, that's what we're saying. Rava is saying, if he has in mind to do the mitzvah, is not what Abaya is talking about. The whole point is Abaya is challenging Rava. If you say mitzvah ain't with kavanah, then he should be over either way. So Rava tells him it doesn't really matter whether he has kavanah or not. The fact is he's doing it outside the time of the mitzvah. Therefore, it doesn't apply. Masiv Rav Shaman Ba'aba, but Rav Shaman Ba'aba asks on that. A Braisa says, Minayin l'koyin sh'olo l'dufan. How do we know when a koyin is going up to Dufan? Shalo yom, he should not say, Hoyo v'nostali Torah r'shus l'vorech at Yisrael. Since the Torah has given me permission to bench the Jewish people, Oisif brocha achas mishali, then I'm not just going to give them the three brochas, Yivarecha yor yisa. I'll add a brocha of my own. For example, he might add the bracha that Moshe says to the Jewish people in Parshas Devarim. How do we know he's not allowed to do that? Because the Torah says don't add to the mitzvahs. Now let's consider. Once he finished the three brachas of Birchas Kohanim, the zman of the mitzvah is over, the pashtos, because he finished the mitzvah, the katani de over. And we're saying that he's over. So you see that even after the time of the mitzvah is over, you can still be over on bal tosif.
And he had in mind to add on another bracha.
He had in mind, but that doesn't matter. The point of fact is he only did it after he finished the other three. So the Gemara says, okay, hachamayskin and beloy sayin. Fine, the answer is, let's say he didn't do it at the end, after v'yosim l'chashalim. He did it in the middle, so then he hasn't finished the mitzvah yet. So the Gemara says, "Well, Tanya Siyim." What do you mean? The Braisa says that he did finish. Okay, it means Siyim Brocha Achas. It means, let's say, that he finished one Brocha. So let's say, if we take the view that the three Brochas of Birkas Koyanim are each constitute one mitzvah, then you could say, so in other words, if he were to add it in the middle, if he were to say, for example, Yor Hashem Panav Elecha, Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kachem Elech Pamim, Vichuneka, then he'd be over. But if, let's say, after Vichuneka, before Yisa, if he were to say it, then it wouldn't be a problem, let's say. The Gemara says, Bartanya Siyim Kol Brochosa, but the Braisa says, we're talking about that he finished all the Brochas. The answer is, Shiny Hacha, the difference is, it's not considered the end of the time of the mitzvah yet. It's true he finished this particular duchening, but given the ilam islami, like tzibura achrina, but if he found another tzibur, if he went to another shul where they hadn't heard duchening yet, hoder mevarech, he can still go and duchen again. He may not be required to, but he's able to go and duchen again and make the bracha. Therefore, kula yoyma zimnehu, so therefore you could say the entire day is considered the zman for birkas koyanim. Unlike when it comes to sitting in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, we're there. The zman of the mitzvah is over because it only applies during the 7 days of sukkahs. With this said, by the way, I mean, we're still going to continue. We're going to continue and point out how we know that. But Tosfos points out that what it is in general, when you're repeating a mitzvah, when you're repeating the same mitzvah over and over, Tosfos says you can't be over on Baal Tosfos. Otherwise, we have to figure, what about on Rosh Hashanah itself? We said, you don't just blow shofar. We said you have tkiyas miyushev, you have tkiyas mu'umad. We blow shofar a number of times throughout the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. And we don't say that's a problem of Baal Tosif. So why not? Because it's repeating the same mitzvah over and over. Baal Tosif would only be where you're adding something within the mitzvah itself. So for example, over here, adding an extra bracha to Birkas Koyanim. But the same way, Tosfos says, let's say you take lulav many times a day on sukkahs, or you eat many kizesim of matzah on Pesach, you're not thereby over on Baal Tosif. Put on tefillin many times a day, etc. The Ritva actually disagrees with that a little bit. He says that the really Baal Tosif is when you're changing the form of the mitzvah. For example, you're adding extra minim to your lulav, so now the form of the mitzvah is different. You're adding extra parashiyos to your tefillin, etc. It's not so much a matter of how many times you're doing it or what times you're doing it or whatever. It's where are you changing the form of the mitzvah itself. Okay, so the Gemara says, where do we see that there's a difference when it comes to Baal Tosif, whether the time of the mitzvah is over? So, Ditznan, we learned in a Mishnah in Zvachim, Hanitonin b'matona achas. Now, yet we know there are some korbanos where the blood is supposed to be put only one time on the mizbeach. For example, the blood of a bechor or meiser or pesach. What if the blood of that gets mixed with another korban where the blood also has to be applied one time to the mizbeach? So Rashi says, let's say the blood of one bechor got mixed with the blood of another bechor, or the blood of a bechor with meiser behema. No problem. Yidnasnu matana achas. No problem. You apply them one time to the mizbeach, and that's good. And both korbanos are kosher. Matan dalad b'matan dalad. If you have korbanos that are supposed to be applied four times to the mizbeach. For example, Shlomim and Osham and Ola, Toida, where all of them have to have Shtei Matonis Shein Arba, B'matan Dalad, and they were mixed up with other Korbanos that also have to be applied four times. No problem, you Nosna B'matan Dalad, you apply them four times. Tosfos points out, by the way, we're not talking about a Chatos, because a Chatos is different. A Chatos, the blood of a Chatos has to be put on the top half of the Mizbeach, and the blood of most other Korbanos on the bottom. So when you have blood of a Chatos mixed in, then you have other issues. But here we're talking about all of the ones where they go on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Okay, what happens? Matan dalad b'matan achas. What if you have blood from a four application korban that got mixed up with the blood of a one application korban? So let's say the blood of a shlomim and the blood of a bechor got mixed together. So what do we do? Rabbi Eliezer says you should apply them to the mizbeach four times. Shtei matanas shtein arba. Rabbi Yeshua says you should put them only the one time. So Rabbi Yezer says, what do you mean you only do it one time? The Torah tells us not only lois soisif, don't add to mitzvahs, but also lois sigra, don't take away from mitzvahs. If you do it only one time, and some of this blood was supposed to be applied on four sides in his bayach, then you're over on Baal Tigra. It's in the same posuk. And it's in the same posuk, yeah. Rabbi Yeshua says, and according to you, the fact is some of this blood is only meant to be put one time in the mizbeach, and if you put it twice, then you're being over on Baal Tosif. So Rabbi Eliezer says, that's not a problem. Baal Tosif applies only when it's by itself. If you were to take the blood of a Bechor all by itself and apply it twice to the Mizbeach, then yeah, you're over on Baal Tosif. But here, where you have other blood mixed in with it that has to be applied twice, then you're not over on Baal Tosif. And therefore, Tosif adds, Rabbi Eliezer would say, therefore, better not to take away anything from the mitzvah. Better to do as much, better to do the more the better. Rabbi Yeshua says, well, by the same logic, no, Baal Tigra also only applies when it's by itself. So therefore, since you, and the fact is, you're yotze with one, because b'dieved, even a korban that has to have all korbanos that are on the outside mizbeach, we say in the Mishnayos, in Ezer Mekoyman, we say only the ones where they go on the inner mizbeach, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh, do we say Matona Achas Me'en Me'akavas? When it comes to the Korbanos on the outside Mizbeach, no, even if you only, you have Machlokas, B'Shama, B'Silol, but okay, the Halacha is like B'Silol, that if you do only one application, you are Yotze. Therefore, let's better just do one, because you're already Yotze with that. And therefore, and I, Baal Tigra, but Baal Tigra only applies when you have the blood by itself, not when it's mixed in with others. Va'oid Amr Rabbi Yeshua. Furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, so you're going to argue either way, you're going to be over on something. Baal Tigra or Baal Tosif. Why is my way of doing only one better? Rabbi Yeshua says, Kshaloi Nasata, when you're not doing any more than one, you could argue maybe a Valta Baal Tigra. You could argue like you're doing, Rabbi Eliezer, that you're over on Baal Tigra. Fine, but at least V'loya Sisa Maisa Biyodcha. At least you didn't actually do a Maisa to be over on Baal Tigra. You were doing it passively. But if we do like you, Rabbi Eliezer, and we put the second application of Varta al Baal Tosif, you could argue like I'm doing that you're over and Baal Tosif, and you even did an actual Maisa B'Yadayim, you did something to do Baal Tosif. So in that sense, it's worse to do what you're saying, Rabbi Eliezer, than it would be to do what I'm saying and leave out the extra one. Now, let's consider, so let's consider how that relates to our sugya over here. Now in our case, in this case of the korban, given the yahiv lematonim of bechor, once you've done the one application of the blood of the bechor, over a loy, then the time is already over, because that's it. You only had to do one application of blood from the blood of the bechor. V'katani de over mishum baal tosif. Yet we're saying Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing that you would have a problem of Baal Tosif over here. Rabbi Yeshua is arguing that by doing a second application, you would be over on Baal Tosif. Now, why would you be over? Lav Mishum Dam Yunin, isn't it? It must be because we say, Kibin de'il Misramale Buchrachuna, because if another Bechor comes to hand, if you have another Bechor to Shecht and to do the Avodah with, Hoder Mazimine, then you would sprinkle from it also. Therefore, Kula Yoyma Zimne. So the entire day is the Zman. But we see, in other words, as long as you have a mitzvah that could continue to be done and again throughout the day, then you're over on Baal Tosif, but once that day is over, then you're not. So applying that to the case of sleeping in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, it's already the next day. Therefore, Baal Tosif wouldn't apply. Only when it comes, for example, to Birkas Koyanim, where it's the entire day, because once you did Birkas Koyanim once, you could do it again and again throughout the day. And similarly, by sprinkling the blood of a Bechor, then we would say Baal Tosif could apply. Again, as Tosfa says, if you're doing the same mitzvah over and over, you're not over on Baal Tosif. Obviously, you're not over on Baal Tosif by sprinkling the blood of many different Bechoris throughout the day. By the same token, you're not over on Baal Tosif by duchening or taking lulav or hearing shofar, whatever, multiple times throughout the day. Only like the Ritva says, you're changing the actual form of the mitzvah by, for example, adding an extra bracha, or in this case, adding an extra sprinkling. So the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that that's the correct explanation of Rabbi Yeshua? Dilma kasavar Rabbi Yeshua mitzvahs over alein afila shaloi bizmanon. Maybe, in fact, Rabbi Yeshua holds, in other words, fine. So you have, we're saying that Rabbi Yeshua is arguing about Baal Tosif. You're arguing that on the basis of that, we can say that Rabbi Yeshua would agree that Baal Tosif doesn't apply on any other day, only on that day. But where are you seeing that from? You see that Rabbi Yeshua is saying you can be over on Baal Tosif by doing extra sprinklings with the Bechor, which is on the same day. Where do you see that he wouldn't say that you have the same problem if it's the next day as well? How can Rava say a proof from that you're not over on Baal Tosif the next day? The answer is anan hokikamina. We have to look at it like this. The fact that we're using that as a proof and saying that if there was another Bechor, he would be sprinkling it that day, And it's like this. Let's look back. Rav Shimon bar Abba, my time a shovik masnisin umoisib bebraisa. Why did Rav Shimon bar Abba ignore that Mishnah in Zvachim and instead bring a question from the Braisa about the case of a Kohen that Dufin? A Mishnah is always stronger than a Braisa. So if there was a if the Mishnah in Zvachim was an example of was an example where Bar Tosif applies on a different day, then he should have used that. So Loisiv Masnissin. What shouldn't he ask from the Mishnah in Zvachim? Obviously, Masnissin my time alone Moisiv. Why indeed did he not ask from the Mishnah in Zvachim? Kivin di misramele buchrach when a boy mazimine kula yoma zimnehu, because we know if there was another bechor and you had to sprinkle it, then the entire day is considered the time of the mitzvah. Therefore, Bal Tosif could be relevant. Well, you could argue Brais and Nami. Then in the Brais also, why should he be over on Bal Tosif? Kivin di misrami tzibur achrin ahanum mubarech. Since if there's another tzibur, he could be benching that tzibur again with Birkas Kohanim, Kula Yom Zimna. Then the whole time is the time for it. So we see, in other words, that as long as you're on the, that only when you're on the same day is there a problem about Tosif, but not the next day. Because otherwise, so that would explain why Rav Shimon bar Abba used the Braisa, because in the Mishnah it's clear that you have a case where you could be bringing the same different bechor and be yotze with Birkas Kohanim. It's not that obvious. So for Rav Shimon bar Abba, says in fact there was a difference. Hasam lo sagi de lo yahu. The difference is if there's another bechor, you have to apply the blood from the mizbeach. If there's no other kohen available, of course, somebody has to do it. Hacha iboi mevarach, iboi lo mevarach. But over here, when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, you don't have to duchen in another shul. You could duchen if you want to, but you're not required to. So therefore, you can argue, therefore, that there's less of a reason to consider, there's more of a reason, in other words, to consider by the case of the Bechor, where the blood got mixed up with something else, that you could say Bal Tosif applies that whole day, rather than by Birkas Kohanim, where you could apply it, where you could argue that once he did the mitzvah one time, he's not required to do it the rest of the day. Therefore, and if we still see that he can be over on Bal Tosif, then maybe that could show that he's over, that it doesn't matter whether the time is over or not. Either way, you can be over on Bal Tosif. And Rava is telling us, no, it doesn't matter. In both cases, the fact is the time for the mitzvah is the entire day, because of Bechor, you could bring another one throughout the day. And Birkas Kohanim, even though it's true, you're not required to, but you could end up saying Birkas Kohanim multiple times in the day.
And if he says it once, he's fulfilled his mitzvah.
Then he's fulfilled his mitzvah. Right. Okay. So all of that is one way of explaining, therefore, so a person is not getting malchus for sleeping in the sukkah shmini atzeres, because even though mitzvah in suchas kavana, because it would only apply on the days when the mitzvah is chal, and here it's already after the time when the mitzvah is chal. By the way, Tosfos mentions over here that again, that's the point. In other words, that once he was yotze the one time, if he does it, he doesn't have to do it subsequent times. We don't say he's over on an SF failing to do it the rest of the time because he was ready yotze with it once. So the Gemara finishes off. Rava Omar, lotzis loy boy kavana, lava boy kavana. Here's a different answer. When I say mitzvahs ain't sriches kavana, I mean to be yotze the mitzvah, you don't need kavana. But when you're not talking about to be yotze, you want to talk about whether a person is going to be over on Bal Tosif, then you need kavana. So you need, for example, when is a person over on Bal Tosif, let's say by adding an extra bracha to Birkas Kohanim, or adding an extra parasha to Tefillin or what have you, where he's intending to be yotze the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim or Tefillin or what have you, but not where he's not intending. There you need kavana, but to accomplish the mitzvah, that you don't need kavana. So the Gemara says, "Bah matan domim lo Rabbi Yeshua de lava of leiboy kavana." What do you mean? In the case of the sprinkling of the blood that got mixed up, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we're talking about that you might be over on Bal Tosif, and he's saying even though you don't have kavana, you're not intending to be over on Bal Tosif, but still Rabbi Yeshua says if you do that second application, you are over on Bal Tosif. So you can't say that distinction that Rabbi is saying. El Omar Rava, so Rava corrects him a little bit. Lotzis leiboy kavana. You don't need kavana for the mitzvah in order to be yotze. But lava bismano leboy kavana, when it comes to being over on Bal Tosif, if it's during the time of the mitzvah, then you don't need kavana. So you're right. When it comes to the bechor, again, the entire day is the time for it, because if another bechor shows up, then you have the mitzvah of doing it again. So therefore, you don't need kavana. You could be over on Bal Tosif, even though even if you're not intending to. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua would say that the second application of blood from this mixed up blood, you would be over on Baal Tosef, even though you're not intending to be over on Baal Tosef, you're going to, because it still is during the time. But still, if it's outside the time, then to be over, you would need kavana, which means, in other words, therefore, so returning to sitting in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres. If when you sit in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, you have in mind that you're doing it for the mitzvah, then in fact you would be over on Baal Tosef. Because even though it's not bizmanoi, so we're correcting what we said before. Before we said it's a blanket statement, when it's shaloi bizmanoi, you're never over on Baal Tosef. Now Rava is saying with this last answer, that no, if you have kavana, you will be over on Baal Tosef. If you sit in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, having in mind, I am now yotze the mitzvah, then you are going to be over on Baal Tosef. It's after the time, but you're having kavana. Only if you're sitting in there, not having in mind to be yotze the mitzvah, then we say you're not over on Baal Tosef because you don't have that kavana. So again, that can apply in Eretz Yisrael. It can also apply, so it may or may not apply in Chutz La'aretz, because again, in Chutz La'aretz, we're doing it in order to fulfill the takana of the Chachamim. The Torah itself says to listen to the Chachamim and their takanas and their gzeiras. So therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, you may not have that issue because you're doing it in order to fulfill what the Chachamim say. But in Eretz Yisrael, it would have to be that if you're going to sit in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, you're doing it not having in mind to fulfill the mitzvah. Otherwise, in fact, you are over on Baal Tosef. Okay, and we'll finish up tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with this point about having kavana on Tchiyas Trofa, what you need and what you don't need, Bez Hashem.
So, Chabad.